There. Those are good. Appreciate you having one of those for me. Yep. They're the best. You want a cough drop? Get a Fisherman's. Get the black. Our last session for this morning, and we're continuing our studies in understanding Bible prophecy. We want to go to another prophecy in Daniel 9, the 70 weeks. Another fundamental prophecy that just is essential to understand the Bible, understand history, understand prophecy. One of the keys, and God gives us, has given us. God is the master teacher, and he's given us these wonderful, wonderful keys and summary passages by which we can interpret the whole rest of the Bible. Daniel 9, 24 through 27, the 70-week prophecy. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. 70 weeks. To finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring thee in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy. Oh, wow. Seal up the vision and prophecy. This is we're gonna finish the prophecies. To anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand, Daniel, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. What great language. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The people of the prince that shall come. And the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Read Revelation. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the prince of the people that destroyed the temple in 70 AD. So he's not Muslim. The prince, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Even abomination of desolations, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. That determined. God's determined everything. Everything's going to be fulfilled according to his determination. And it's very good to get on God's side of things. You can fight God, but there's no future in that, good future in that. Or you could get on God's side of things. I think that's the essence of repentance, is surrender to God's authority. Stop fighting God. We're at enmity with God, naturally. Stop fighting God. Lay down your arms. He's God, I'm not God. And so things are determined here, and they're going to go right along according as God has determined. We see the context. The occasion of the prophecy was Daniel's prayer that God would have mercy on Israel. That's the previous part of the chapter, verses 1 through 23. Daniel was praying for Israel. God had put him in high positions in the government. And he was praying that God would restore Jerusalem and the temple, verses 16 through 19. And this vision is God's answer. And God reveals to Daniel the time schedule and the major events that will lead to the establishment of Israel's messianic kingdom. That's what it's all about. So the purpose, The prophecy pertains to Israel and to the holy city of Jerusalem. It pertains to Daniel's people. So that's clear. That's not any Gentile or any church. That's Daniel's people, Israel. In a nutshell, the 70 weeks describes the finishing up of God's business with Israel. Her judgment and her restoration, the finishing of it. Finishing up of it, this, to seal up the vision and prophecy. Seal it up, finish it. And Daniel 9:24 mentions five major things that will be accomplished during the 70 weeks. 70 weeks. And that is, the 70 weeks will finish the transgression and make an end of sins. That's referring primarily to Israel's transgression and current rebellion. That's going to be finished. She's going to repent nationally. This will happen at the end of the 70 weeks. Second, the 70 weeks will make reconciliation for iniquity and bring in everlasting righteousness. That refers to Christ's atonement for sin. That's how the reconciliation happens. It's the only way that man can be reconciled with God, against whom he's at enmity because of his sin against God's law. The reconciliation happens because the redemption price has been paid by the blood of Christ. He's cut off, but not for himself. It's right there. Cross is in the middle of everything. Thirdly, the 70 weeks will bring in everlasting righteousness. The result of Israel's repentance and cleansing will be the establishment of Christ's everlasting righteous kingdom. Fourth, the 70 weeks will seal up the vision and prophecy. It will encompass and conclude all the messianic prophecies. Fifthly, the 70 weeks will be to anoint the most holy. And that's referring to the third temple, which will be desecrated by the Antichrist. But primarily it's referring to the fourth temple, the millennial temple, which will be built when Christ returns and is described in great detail by Ezekiel at the end of his prophecy. So that's the purpose and the major events, the length of the 70 weeks. The Hebrew term for weeks means sevens, week, 7 days, but sevens in Hebrew. And the context must be determined whether it's a week of days or years. Well, it's very clear that the weeks that have already been fulfilled show without a doubt that these are weeks of years, not days. It was almost 500 years from the rebuilding of Jerusalem until the coming of Christ. They knew exactly when he would come. Those Jews knew that the leaders, they knew where he was going to be born, and they knew when. They knew who he was. This fits the testimony of Daniel 9:25, which places 69 weeks of years, it's 483 years, between the two events. Exactly, of course. They knew when he was coming. The concept of weeks and years was familiar to Jewish thinking. Secondly, there was a Sabbath of days, a weekly Sabbath. There was Sabbath of years. And then the time of the vision. So the Jews were accustomed to thinking in weeks of years. At the time of the vision, Daniel had been thinking in terms of weeks of years. And he was considering the 70-year captivity, which was 10 weeks of years. That's what he was thinking about along those ways. So there's no doubt that this is weeks of years. But the events of the first 69 weeks, because that's how this is divided. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish up the transgression and to make an end of sins. And then verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And but the first 7 weeks, it's 49 years, it says Jerusalem will be rebuilt in troublous times. Verse 25, and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. The commandment to rebuild Jerusalem was given in 445 B.C., to rebuild Jerusalem, not to rebuild the temple. The walls were completed the next year, and the work of rebuilding the city apparently continued for another 48 years, totaling 49. It was indeed accomplished in troublous times. We can read about it in Nehemiah. Great opposition that they had for the rebuilding of the walls, the city. The next 62 weeks, 434 years, extends from the rebuilding of Jerusalem until the coming of the Messiah. 69 weeks, first 69 weeks. 7 weeks and 62. It ended when Messiah came as prince, Messiah the Prince. And that's when Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey. Triumphal entrance. A few days before the crucifixion, he was acclaimed as the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9. The King that cometh. He had been rejected, and yet God ordained that they cry out, the King is coming in the name of the Lord. Came as prince, but rejected. When did the 69 weeks begin? Began with the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Verse 25, that was the commandment by Artaxerxes of Persia, for Nehemiah to rebuild the walls in the city. Nehemiah was his cupbearer. And Artaxerxes gave him the permission to go build the walls. God ordained that. And in 536 B.C., Cyrus commanded Zerubbabel to build the temple earlier, but that isn't what this is talking about. The rebuilding of Jerusalem itself. And even though, especially from now, looking back, it's difficult. There's difficulties in figuring out the exact thing, but it was done. They knew exactly then what this meant. And men have figured this out, especially Robert Anderson. He was a lawyer and an investigator with Scotland Yard, serious Bible student. And he did lots of research into this, the dates and all. Pretty boring, I think, but he liked that. I'm glad some people like things, different people like different things. But he did, studying all this, these ancient calendars and all the events. And by his reckoning, he concluded that the commandment was given March 14th, 445 B.C. to rebuild, and Christ entered Jerusalem on the donkey in April 6, 32 A.D. And he documented this in the 1895 book, The Coming Prince. Had a lot of influence. It's a good book. John Phillips summarizes this position, the commentator John Phillips, who is now deceased by not too many years. He said, we know from Nehemiah 2, 1 through 8, that the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem was given in March, Nisan, of the 20th year of Artaxerxes, who ascended to the throne of Persia in 464 or 65 B.C. Thus, the beginning of the prophetic period would be 445 B.C. Some commentators actually fixed the date at March 14th. And you know, there's some different, March 14th being Robert Anderson, and claimed the support of astronomy for so doing. Anyway, he gives an overview of that thing. John Phillips, he liked to dig around old calendars and mathematics and stuff. But he gives a summary of how that's figured out. But the important thing is to understand that the Jews of Christ's day knew these things. There was no problem here to them. There was no excuse for not knowing exactly when Messiah the Prince came. In fact, they did know. They had to know. Now, the main thing here is the last two things, the events between the 69th and 70th weeks, and then the 70th week in the future. But the events between the 69th and 70th week, Messiah is cut off, but not for himself, verse 26. Crucifixion, the cross. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came the first time. Cut off, but not for himself, vicarious substitutionary atonement for us, for sinners, taking the punishment that we deserve upon himself and perfectly fulfilling the law of God and satisfying God's law. The payment of a debt, fully paid. That's great. You ever had any debts? Somebody fully pay it, write a check. Well, the debt we owe to God cannot be satisfied by anyone, not the richest man on earth. Who's the richest man in Australia? One of the tops. He can't pay the debt. And only God could pay that debt. Had to be God. Had to be a man. Had to be God. He did it. Not for himself. No, he didn't have to die, never sinned. Nobody could force him to die. He said, I could call legions of angels. One angel can destroy a magnificent army. No, nobody forced him to die. The city and the sanctuary are destroyed. Verse 26, the city and sanctuary destroyed. That was at the hands of the Roman armies under the generalship of Titus, who later became emperor of the Roman Empire. Number three, there are wars and desolations unto the end. Yes, there were desolation, destruction. It's translated in Hosea 2:12. That's a perfect description of the last 2,000 years of Israel's history since Christ was cut off. Desolations. It's a description of that land. Even though Israel is back in the land, she has no peace. Wars continually, war after war after war, desolations. And there won't be any peace until she repents and receives her resurrected Messiah. Just like any individual sinner. You won't have peace. Seek it anywhere you please. There won't be any peace because there is no peace to the wicked, Isaiah twice said. We have to be reconciled with God to have peace. And so does Israel. Wars and desolations describe what will happen to Israel just before Christ returns. Who? Great wars? Described in Matthew 24, Revelation 6 through 19. Between the 69th and 70th week is the interlude of the church age. 2,000 years so far is right there between those two verses. Unseen. Daniel didn't know anything about the church. It's called a mystery because it was not revealed in the Old Testament prophets, but is revealed by the New Testament prophets. And all during this time, God is calling out a people for his name among the pagan nations. Yeah. And so, that's the events between the 69th and 70th week. It's where we are. At the tail end of that thing, that's where we are. But then the 70th week. Final 7 years. Haven't been fulfilled. Still waiting on this. It's right there somewhere. It's right out there somewhere. Close, nearby probably, but imminent. The period is described by Jesus in Matthew 24. That period, that 7 weeks. And by John in Revelation 6 through 19, that 7 weeks. The final week is divided into two parts in Daniel 9:27. Divided into two parts. Daniel 9:27. And he shall, the prince of the people that destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD, that people, the prince of that people, so he's going to come out of Europe, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, in the midst of the 7 years, 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. He's a man. I've talked to people, what about the Antichrist? Well, I don't know if he's a man or... Well, he's a man. He is. Even until the consummation and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And so at the beginning of the 7 years, Antichrist is going to make a false peace covenant with Israel. Mr. Peace, all caps. And the world is going to claim him as that. Mr. Problem Solver. That's what the world wants. Mr. Problem Solver. And he's going to be the man. Empowered by the devil. Supernatural. Mr. Peace. He's going to come out of the revived Roman Empire somehow. And we probably won't understand that. And we won't even see this, but no one will really understand this, I think, till it happens. But we see unities, movements, and things in Europe all leading toward this. Revelation depicts the Antichrist coming on the scene in a white horse, Revelation 6:2. White signifying peace. Now, stay awake during all the way to the end. And you've got to make yourself focus on the Word of God. No one can do that for you. You've got to find a way to keep yourself awake, whatever it takes. You've got to, or you can miss things. It's your responsibility. Preacher can't do it for you. I haven't been looking over there. Let's see what's going on over there. This is when the Jewish temple will be rebuilt, but Revelation 6:2 describes him coming on a white horse with an empty bow. Oh, Mr. Peace. He's got the potential for war here, but it's empty. He's harmless. And when he comes on the scene, he will be the greatest diplomat the world has ever seen. He will doubtless solve the Israel-Palestinian problem. Israel's sacrifices will be restored. Now, we see the building of that temple in Revelation 7. That's when you measure a building. Right now, we're building church building, and we're measuring all kinds of things. That's when you measure a building, when it's being built. And right there, with the two witnesses preaching and the Antichrist being Mr. Peaceman over here, that's the first half of that 7 years. And that's when that temple's going to be built. No doubt about it. Revelation 7 makes that clear. Because Antichrist is going to make that possible. Only he could do this. Reconcile. And do this. He's got a problem. Kids have problems. Adults don't have problems. There's kids. They really have problems. And so that's when this temple is going to be built. The sacrifices are going to be restored. They're already practicing and they're already ready to go with this thing. Stage is set perfectly. And it's probable that either the Antichrist or his prophet or both will be accepted by the Jews as their Messiah. The Muslims are also looking for a Messiah. And they believe their Messiah is going to come with Jesus. That's what they believe. That group of messianic-oriented Muslims like the Iranians are. But they believe, the Mahdi, that he's going to appear at the end of the world to establish a global caliphate kingdom in Allah's name and rule for a certain period of time. Their prophecies are not very clear, but this is a general outline of it. He's going to rid the world of evil before the day of judgment. And the coming of the Mahdi, is believed to coincide with the second coming of Jesus, whom they call Isa, who is not the Jesus of the Bible. But they think, join hands with the Mahdi against the false Messiah or Antichrist. And so it's easy to see how the Muslims will be deceived by this man, and everybody will say, well, let's get together. World peace. When they cry, peace, peace, then sudden destruction come upon them. But this is going to be the biggest peace movement the world's ever seen. Midway through the 7 years, the Antichrist will break this covenant and exalt himself as God. As God. That's what this says in verse 27. And so he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, for 7 years. So they're going to agree to a 7-year covenant. But in the midst of the week, 3.5 years, he will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And so the temple has been built. Revelation 7, the measuring. The temple's been built. The two witnesses have been preaching. And preaching against the Antichrist, making him very angry. And frustrating the world, these two men, because of their message. And that's the first 3.5 years. But then, and the Levites will be having their sacrifices up there, which they're practicing for. You can see it online. It's amazing. And they'll be singing up there. And musical instruments have been prepared for that. Everything's been prepared. And then the Antichrist is going to come in there and stop that program and proclaim himself as God. It's not real complicated, but this is the foundation, the outline of these things, right here, in the midst of the week. It's 3.5 years, and then abominations. So he is the abomination, blaspheming God. That's one of his major characteristics in Daniel. Blaspheming God and God's Christ. And the world really liking that. Really liking that. Yeah, that's our man. Yeah, absolutely. But that's the main thing. The desolation of the temple and the desolations of the wars and the judgments, all that's packed into that. We see that in 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4. Major New Testament passage on the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4 describes this. Jesus described it in Matthew 24. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4. The man of sin. Let no man deceive you by any means. So deception will be the characteristic of the church age. Increasing characteristic. Deception. You better be careful. You better know what you believe. You better have a good foundation for what you... You better train and educate your children to know what they believe and why they believe it. Not just to rote... memorize a catechism, which I think catechisms can be good, but not just that, knowing why they believe it. Knowing children that are learning to be Bible students. Better, it's an hour of deception. Let no man deceive you by any means. Don't let it happen. That means you have responsibility. Don't let it happen. When I was saved, one of my first thoughts was, I have been deceived. I was arguing with the Bible, and I knew nothing. I was a deceived man. And I never want to be deceived again by the devil. And so I knew the key. That man had given me the key. Study the Bible. Know the Word of God. Become a serious Bible student. And then test everything by it. And get the leadership of the Spirit to give you practical wisdom. And test everything by it. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Yeah. But it's don't let any man deceive you by any means. The devil's cleverer. If one trick doesn't work, he's got more. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin falling away, apostasy, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. There he is. There he is. He's the one that Daniel prophesied so much about. He's called the man of sin. He's called the son of perdition, son of eternal judgment. What a name. I don't want to be that. Not even for 7 years of ruling the whole world. Not for 1,000 or 10,000 years. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God. What a proud character. Well, the devil, it's the devil's man. And the devil said, I'll be like God. I will ascend. What the devil said. And here's the devil's man exalting himself above all that is called God, opposing God, or that is worshipped, anything that's worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And the world will wonder after him, Revelation says. The miracles and all that they see, it seems like he's raised from the dead. Is at one point, and the image will be, his image will be caused to speak, and there's things there, and the world will just be amazed and deceived and wonder after him. So midway through the 7 years, Antichrist will break his covenant and exalt himself as God. Matthew 24:15. Jesus described exactly that. All these passages describing the same major events. And so if you understand the major events of prophecy, you can see in the passages what's happening. Matthew 24:15. When ye therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, that's the temple. Whoso readeth, let him understand. This event marks the beginning of the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. The last half. The first part's called Tribulation too. Revelation 6 through 19 describes the same period of time. The final week of Daniel's vision. Final week. But it's divided into two halves. And it's divided into two halves in Revelation also. It's divided into 2 3.5 year periods. During the first half of that week, the two witnesses of Revelation 11 will preach for 1,260 days, 3.5 years. Revelation 11:3, 3.5 years. During the second half, the Antichrist will rule for 42 months. Revelation 13:5, 3.5 years. There's 2 3.5 year periods, exactly how Daniel divided the thing. The covenant being made at first for 7 years, but then him coming in the midst of the 7 years, breaking it. And then the great tribulation. And Jesus said, well, look at it. Back at Matthew 24:15, this is what Jesus said will happen when the Antichrist comes into the temple and proclaims himself as God. Matthew 24:15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, when you see it, Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days with a little baby infant. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, because they're not supposed to travel on the Sabbath day. And they still, the Jews keep that law, but they really will big time be keeping these laws. Because when that temple is rebuilt, that will be the rabbinical Jews taking back control of Israel, and they will enforce the Sabbath law. And for then shall be great tribulation, there it is, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. Everyone on earth will die, except those days be shortened. But for the elect's sake, the saved, those days shall be shortened. There, that's the last 3.5 years. It's called great tribulation. So we see the same exact division in Revelation as in Daniel, a 7-year period divided into 3.5-year segments. And converted Israel will flee into the wilderness for 1,260 days or 3.5 years, Revelation 12:6. So you see those 3.5 periods emphasized. The first 3.5, sort of a peacetime, man of peace. And then, and there'll be preaching of the Jews at that time that will be sealed from each tribe, 12 tribes. And but then the great tribulation. There it is. And that is Daniel. Daniel fits together hand in glove with Revelation, with Matthew 24. You study those three major prophecies. They all fit together hand in glove. And it's clear. It's literal. You interpret these things in a normal literal method. You take, as we've explained a little bit about, and spent pretty good time there as a foundation. You're going to come out right, because God wants people to understand the Bible, unless you're perverse. I mean, I'm not believing. Well, you can do that. But God wants man to understand. He wants man to understand. Revelation means revelation, not puzzle, the book of puzzle. But it was a puzzle to the Protestants. Calvin didn't even write about it. It was such a puzzle. Luther didn't like it. They didn't understand it because they didn't interpret it literally. What privilege we have. We're not special people, some kind of super intelligent people and all that. I don't want to offend you. There might be some super intelligent people in there, but mostly not. Mostly not. We're just people, and yet what privilege we have. What privilege we have. He that will do his will shall know of the doctrine, whether I speak of myself or whether it be of God. And so these two great, great prophecies from Daniel we've looked at that are major, major keys to understanding all of this. We've touched on them. We've hit the highlights of them. And so now, I think I smell something.